You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com.
Welcome to Uncensored. I haven't been on here in a while.
Me neither.
I can barely hear you.
Chris, when was the last time you were on here?
I don't know. It's been months, but my way of remembering dates is pretty far off, so it's probably been 2 years.
My wife always gives me a hard time because I'll say the other day, and it'll be like 6 months ago, and she's like, it wasn't the other day. It was half a year ago.
Yeah, I'm like last year, and Olivia, it's usually 5 years ago.
Olivia does the same thing to me. Amanda, the other day, she's like, that was 2 years ago,
yeah,
before I knew you.
Amanda listens to the podcast, and she's like, I heard what you were talking about on Uncensored, and I'm like, that was a week ago. I cannot remember at all. Remind me what I said.
People do that to me.
Am I in trouble?
A lot of the guys that log the podcast on Go Wild, I'm reading through it, and like, I don't remember saying any of that, but I probably did.
Also, when people go back and listen to episodes that are already like a year old or whatever.
Ferg did that recently. Yeah. Shout out to you, Ferg. He went through and logged. He was kind of behind on Uncensored. And it was five or six episodes in a row, I think. And he's sometimes he'll ask questions. I'm like, dude, I don't remember anything that I said. So this episode's brought to you by Gun Broker. If you haven't gotten on there and gotten ready for turkey season, this is your chance to do so. Head over to gunbroker.com. It's more than just used guns. They have tons of new guns. There's a lot of retailers still on there, so you can find a good shotgun. And actually, if you go to our website, we have a breakdown of some really good options for Gun Broker. So there's a turkey breakdown. If you're looking for that first turkey gun, go to timetogowild.com, and you'll find that on the turkey pursuit page. So you'll find that article there that we put together on turkey shotguns. So,
and they just launched multi-cart checkout.
They did. So you can buy two shotguns at once if you want to.
And you don't have to check out twice. Just check out once.
America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mother's Day is coming up. You can get one for you and the spouse.
You got four shotguns.
I guess spouse, mom, whoever. Spouses can be moms.
Yeah.
You guys are going turkey scouting soon, right?
Yes, we need to schedule that.
We need to schedule it. We're going to try to go back to the same area, which is the same area I deer hunted for my quota hunt, which when we went last spring was a nice field. And when I went in the fall, Fish and Wildlife had leased that land, and a private farmer had planted corn on it. So we need to go back there and see
what it looks like.
Yeah, see if it's just cut down corn, or did they plant something else for the spring season, or what it looks like. And then in that same area, when I was out deer hunting, when I almost got shot by that guy.
And you're going to take your extremely lifelike turkey decoy out there.
Yeah, I'll take my extremely lifelike
turkey
decoy. Anyways. But when I was up in the saddle, I saw six turkeys in the woods. So I made a mental note of, I'm going to come back here to this area.
Derek probably knows better than I do, but that doesn't always translate to spring birds.
Yeah, where they are in the fall is generally not where they're going to be in the spring. I'm not saying that that's always going to be the case, but...
That is true, but this was a transition point between big woods and... a field, so I feel like in general it'd be a good spot. It's that same spot where I don't want.
I'm pretty
to
sure I know
away,
where
but,
you were,
but you and I were talking about it for the deer season.
Is there a creek there?
There is
in
a river.
Close. Yeah,
that's good.
Somewhat close.
Salt river.
Do you find that they like to roost over water?
Generally, yes.
What is up with that? Is that
It could be a multitude of things, in my opinion, but I have not, like, researched it, really. It just could be the fact that it's water. It could be a cooling effect. I don't know. I wouldn't say it's so much, like, a preening thing, but I know, like, kind of early or later in the season especially, like, they'll come off the roost, and the first thing they usually do is go hit dust bowls. Mm-hmm. And so that would be kind of counterintuitive towards water, you would think. But
yeah.
But, yeah, generally speaking, they like to roost near water, just generally, like, places that are wet. I mean, even if you can't find, like, actual water, I find that if I can find an area that's got sycamores, at least for our region, growing, that's usually a good little spot right there, too. Sycamores imply that it's going to be moist in that area, if nothing else. But
I think I'm getting my turkey property back. Mm-hmm. The guy that leased it is not hunting it for turkey, but I'm also, like, cautiously optimistic because I've struck out there more often than not. It's just such a hard property hunt, which Derek, finally talking to him, I realized a couple years ago why part of that is because there's cattle on the other side and they head up to those cow patties in the morning. It's also just directionally, it just makes the most sense. You know, they can be out of the woods in 50 yards versus, mm-hmm. you know, 300 yards my direction. I think they like to get out there and start eating sooner rather than, you know, wading through all the mess. Chris has been out. Chris's first turkey hunt, we went out and
let's not talk about my first turkey.
Well, no, I mean, what my point being, on that day we saw three huge toms yeah. come in, and they had one hen with them, and you know, and then we ended up killing Kevin from Go Wild came in, and we killed Godzilla out there. That was it was the second biggest turkey that Tony had ever guided.
Mm-hmm.
Massive bird. That thing come like you could hear it spitting and drumming from 80 yards away.
That's
and
insane.
It was, dude. it was unreal. Tony was elated with how big that bird was.
Yeah.
But the only bird I think I've ever shot out there is a Jake. Mm-hmm. And that was after getting skunked for a couple years, and I'm back to a couple years skunk. I'm just not good at turkey hunting, I guess.
Yeah, dude, I go on roller coasters with Jakes. I'll have like a year where I'm like do really well, and I'm like, I'm not killing a Jake next year, and then I won't kill a bird that yeah. next year, and then the third year and the cycle rolls around and I'm like, Jake walks by, it's getting rolled. Like,
I don't know, maybe this is a reason not to do it, but part of me is like, yeah, they're gonna die anyways. I heard on Meat Eater one time years ago, back when Meat Eater was sub 100 episodes, I think, when mm-hmm. I was listening to it back then, I heard Ranella say that 70% of the eggs never make it to hatch. 70% of the poults never make it, and then 70% of the Jakes die.
When you when you hear all the statistics on how like frequently turkey, like how good they are at dying, it's yes. like, how do we have turkey at all?
What also yeah. makes me like, they're so good at dying, but not in front of me.
Yeah. You're yeah. saying they die from predation?
Yeah.
Everything.
Everything. Mm. Everything,
everything is trying to kill a turkey.
Yeah.
Even not from like other animals.
So it's not
environmental. Like everything is killing.
It's not just the Jake. It's any turkey is a 70%
chance. Yeah. I mean, think about the eggs and how many animals like to eat their eggs.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, they're, everything is out to eat a turkey egg.
Yeah.
And then when they're small, they're easy targets for coyotes. I mean, I've found coyote kills on turkeys.
And then they're super susceptible to like hypothermia. They talk about if you have a real wet, like late spring, early summer, like to us, we don't think anything about it. We're humans. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's still warm. It's humid. But like a little tiny poult turkey that has like no, yeah. like it, if you have wet anything, like a lot of them die.
Mm. But I'm hopeful to get out. I haven't had any luck in the last few years, but we'll see. So your property is, do you scout it like every year, or do you just generally know kind of where they're going to be?
I generally know where they're going to be, but where things have changed in the last handful of years is the amount of logging that's going on out there. Mm. And they just log the hell out of the area that I've done a lot of my turkey hunting in the past year. So it's going to be a learning year for me. I feel like things are going to be, some things will probably be the same. It's probably not going to be as bad as I'm making it out to be in my head as far as what the logging's done. I mean, I've deer hunted some of the areas they've logged in the last handful of years, and I'm still seeing wildlife.
So Blake works construction building. He's an inspector, but he's on these road sites all the time. The wildlife don't seem to care. I'm sure it impacts some of their movements, but he sends me pictures of elk from 10 yards away from their trucks that are just unbelievable bulls fighting. He sent me videos last fall fighting right next to him.
Yep. It's just, I think what's going to be the biggest thing for me is just this landscape looks entirely different now. It's the same section of land that I've walked on my whole life. I knew it, you know, inside and out, and now it looks completely different because they've logged it. And so it's like, now I just have to figure out how to work with the terrain again.
Yeah.
I've been out there a handful of times kind of just looking for turkey sign and doing some shed hunting here this spring and picking up a lot of trash. That's a whole other can of worms, but loggers apparently don't care about people's property that they're on, which
we picked up some trash from my scouts. We went out and did like a 45-minute hike, and they were working on an achievement to pick up, and my son was like, that was really fun, we should do that again. Like, I was like, you just want to go with me and you? And he's like, yeah, let's go pick up some trash sometime. I was like, cool, we can do that.
Nice. Well, a great little spot that you can do it at. Well, no, not our property, but also where you guys are talking about turkey hunting and where I spent a little time smallmouth fishing this last weekend. Lots of trash out there, and that's a big old section of public land that might be something that I look at doing for BHA.
Yeah.
A little pack out deal or whatever.
All right. Have you talked about your role with BHA on here?
Not really officially yet.
All right. So let's make it official.
Yeah. Long story short, around December, I had some people in the board at BHA reach out to me asking if I'd be interested in filling a vacancy, being the third district director for the Kentucky chapter. Kentucky chapter of BHA structures the organization just like Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife structures it. So we have 9 districts in Kentucky, and BHA is the same. So I've taken over the third district. It became official back in February. And that is basically Jefferson County and then 6 other surrounding counties of here. So Oldham, Shelby, Spencer, Meade, Breckenridge, Bullitt. I might be missing one. But so this general area. And yeah, BHA, if you're not familiar with it, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, just a nonprofit group out there that advocates for sportsmen's rights and public land and conservation, just all the things we love.
Are you doing anything in Indiana? Do you have any Indiana counties?
No. I mean, Indiana's their own chapter, so they have their own things going on there. But yeah, I'm just excited. Little plug, I am hosting my first pint night, which is a thing that BHA does, April 2nd, which I think when this comes out, it will be tomorrow. So if you're listening and you live in the Louisville area or close, come on out. It's going to be at Rec Bar in J-Town.
It's your favorite bar.
Yeah, that's kind of why I picked it. Yeah. Home territory.
Yeah.
So 6 to 9, just come on out. You don't have to be a member, but we hope you want to become a member. And like a thing that we do with our pint nights is if you come to a pint night as not a member, we can get you hooked up and get you a pretty good little discount code with Onyx, because Onyx sponsors all of our pint nights.
I will say, so BHA is interesting because the national group has taken some flack from hunters over the last few years. And you and I have talked about this. But you guys, I always feel like the local chapters do such good work. You know, I see a lot of the efforts. What are some of the things that you have done with the Kentucky BHA and some of the things that you guys are working on locally?
So what's been going on is there's kind of just been this void in the third district in this general area, and it's kind of hard because there's a huge population here, but there's not a whole lot of public land here, and BHA being a group that focuses on public land, it is kind of hard. What I've decided I'm going to do is I'm going to take a big focus on waterways, because we do have a lot of public water in this area. All that to be said, I still have some WMAs, some big WMAs and sections of public land in my area, and I'm going to be focusing on those too. So that's kind of like what I mentioned, the area that we're talking about. It's a WMA in my district. I was there fishing for smallmouth over the weekend. You guys are going to be turkey hunting out there. This section littered with trash, and that's something I've done in the past with BHA out at Peabody WMA, which is more western in Kentucky, and Kentucky's largest WMA, actually. Our second district director is doing some great work out there at Peabody and just that whole district as a whole. And they're already, we've done trash cleanups for a couple years now, but now they're actually working on doing like turkey and waterfowl nesting habitat projects with Fish and Wildlife. I'm actually supposed to be getting lunch with a regional biologist sometime this week, and we're going to discuss some similar projects that we can try to do in this general area. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of trash pickup has kind of been the big thing here lately, but we're trying to get more in the door with the state, with Fish and Wildlife, and it's already happening in other parts of the state where they're actually coming to us and saying, hey, we have this project that's more than just picking up trash. You know, we want someone to help manage the shooting range, clean the shooting range up, fix it up, make it look nice. We're going to do wood duck nesting boxes over here. We're going to do goose nesting platforms here. We're going to clear habitat for turkey nesting, like all these things. And they're starting to come to us and have us help work with them. Another thing I'm looking at doing is some fishing access projects in this area, and actually more like some stuff actually here in Louisville. I'm working on doing some fishing access to open up areas for us to go fish that are on public.
Nice. So, cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, congrats on your new role.
Thank you.
Not as new now, but new to people listening.
New Jason.
Yeah. You did some fishing recently, right? You've kind of been out.
Yeah, a little bit.
Smallmouth a little bit.
Yeah.
How's that going?
This area that I'm fishing is notorious for the white bass run, and that's what we went out there for. I was already thinking it would probably be a little too early, and we were right. It was a little too early, but it was still a fun time. We went out, hooked into some smallmouth.
Did you kayak it?
No. We just, it's all on the WMA, so okay. We just parked and walked along the river and fished right off the bank.
Yeah, we got that warm spell 3 weeks ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone was thinking, oh, no, we've missed the spring warm-up. And then it got real cold. And I went out Sunday because I built that roof rack. Mm-hmm. And I needed to test my kayak. So I knew I was going to build it Saturday and then go out Sunday. And Amanda was like, we've got a hard freeze warning for tonight. And tomorrow morning it's going to be 32 degrees on Sunday morning. I'm like, all right, well, I'm not even going to go out till noon. And I went out and it was still too cold. I didn't catch anything.
I went out for bass, largemouth, and trying to catch the spawn, and no luck. It was a little early. Jake, mm-hmm. I talked to Jacob about it, and he's like, I know we had a warm spell, but I don't think it was enough to actually warm the water overall. And it did drop. You know, I took my kids out, and I was a little concerned about them being outside because it was chilly. You know, mm-hmm. I got a 6-year-old who tires out easily. But they ended up just chasing geese the whole time. So the local geese that seem to always be there.
Yeah, Jacob and I fished his farm pond last night, and the bite was pretty good.
We
caught five or six fish each.
Nice.
Yeah, I hit one of the little farm ponds on our farm one of the days last week when I was out scouting.
I need to get out, man.
I was doing pretty good with the largemouth. But it's a small, shallower pond. It heats up more quicker. So
my biggest challenge right now is just the kids. I've got something going on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday, it seems like my wife always has plans, and we get in Saturday, and it's sports, and it's that this time of spring is so busy with the kids every year, and it's eating into my outdoors time.
Yeah, this April's crazy, and I don't take a lot of time off from work, and I've got the solar eclipse coming up. We're going to do Glenn's coming into town, Glenn Reich coming into town, and we're going to hit the Cumberland River. Probably with a drift boat, and then I'm going to North Carolina to fish with my dad.
Nice. Is Glenn bringing his boat down?
I think so. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, his drift boat.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that'll be good. I've never done that.
I feel like fishing with Glenn too, you're going to learn a ton. Mm-hmm. That guy, he can just go and go and go. Every time I talk to him, I'm learning something about fishing.
Yeah, and he's got the perfect hatch hookup, which we sell all of their products. So, and Vexen, I think he manages. So
I bought their opener, their kind of entry level fly rod from Perfect Hatch.
Oh yeah,
and bought that for Olivia because I'm trying to get her into fly fishing. And I mean, I used it, and for what it, like, for how much it cost, it is a very good fly rod and reel.
Yeah,
we're doing some work with Macy Watkins, who a lot of you all may know from Instagram, TikTok, or Facebook, huge social following, and she has a holler shop, which is something we're doing to work with creators. And she tried out the Perfect Hatch fly tying kits, mm-hmm. and she said they're awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she said the quality's really good, price, the value's really good. I don't tie flies mm-hmm. enough to know, but it sounds like of all the products, that was her favorite thing that Perfect Hatch offered.
Yeah. It's a great brand for beginners. Yeah. They have those kits of flies where it's like, here's your bass fly kit, and it'll have mm-hmm. six flies of various designs for bass.
And she said she liked all those, but she said the fly tying kit specifically did not seem like a beginner kit per se. She said it's just a good mm-hmm. fly tying kit. Mm-hmm. She really enjoyed it.
She's a big fly fisher, man.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
she probably knows what she's talking about.
Legit. Yeah.
We will be doing, probably by the time this launches that week, which is next week, we will be doing our big spring fishing sale. And it'll be a good time to stock up. I'm not sure if we're going to have any Perfect Hatch stuff in that sale. It'll be mostly soft plastics, and some rods and reels we'll be putting on sale. But it's that time of year to stock up on
all your stuff. I think our Spring 15 sale is going on, though, for up until May.
I think that ends Friday.
Oh, sorry about that, guys. You missed that one.
You missed it. The 15% off.
Should open our emails.
But the average sale of the fishing stuff that will be put on sale will be over 15%.
Yeah, it's a good sale.
Yes.
So make sure you take advantage of that. Get loaded up.
Jacob and I are both – I talked Jacob into – we were both going to load up our carts before the sale went live and just buy stuff personally. Mm-hmm. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to wait to see what's left over from this sale and then just buy the rest.
Yeah.
Because it's all good stuff. Like, I don't care either way. But if there's some weird color – Ned, I'll buy that. I'll buy the purple Neds.
I might need to see if there's anything in that sale for me for some saltwater stuff come May. But
yeah,
I'm mostly stocked up for that.
You going back on the
back
same
down
trip
to Florida?
Yeah,
not same spot, but back down to Florida.
Yeah. You going to surf fish or are you going to?
Surf fish and then do some intercoastal stuff also.
Yeah. So. This year, I'm going to go back and surf fish. I did well last year for me.
Mm-hmm.
For like Jacob, it would have been a slow, but yeah. I had never caught anything surf fishing. And last year I finally started catching stuff. But the thing I was talking to him and maybe you, some other guys though, and I've been buying the frozen shrimp and it's like, you're just constantly reloading cause it falls off. Yeah. And so that's apparently my flaw is I need to go to a tackle shop when I get there and just load up.
What I've been like extremely fascinated in the last couple weeks, and I don't really know where it came from, but I was like, I want to catch shrimp, not for bait, but to have my own shrimp. There's like a couple like seafood dishes that I like to make, and I'm like, it's like the one thing I have to go to the store and buy, and I'm like, man, if I could catch my own shrimp, that'd be awesome.
How do you go out after shrimp? Like,
I don't know because I've never done it, obviously, but like I've been doing a little bit of research on University of YouTube and some other places. I did make a post on Go Wild and some people commented on it, and they're all kind of confirming the same stuff I'm seeing on YouTube or whatever. But basically you go out with the cast net at night is the best time. You can catch them during the day. But
from the shore?
Yeah, just right there on the beach. Or if you like, because we'll have the intercoastal option also, and it sounds like if you can get close to like oyster beds. But so you go out during low tide, so you know they're more concentrated in like these pools, and you just have some light of some sort. I'm probably going to bring a headlamp and a cast net, and you just cast net where you think they're going to be and pull them in. And I've heard guys say that if you know where you're throwing the cast net at, I mean, in no time you can fill up a 5-gallon bucket, which
that's
is
awesome.
Florida's daily limit on shrimp is, I think it's whole shrimp, of 1 5-gallon bucket.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a pretty fine net.
Yeah. So they actually even make like cloth cast nets, and they say that those are actually best, but I can't remember the sizes, but yeah, if you can get like a real small sized as far as like the thread.
Can you do that with your normal fishing license?
The saltwater fishing license, really? The recreational saltwater fishing license. And please cross-check this if you're listening to this and you want
definitely
to go do
not
this. Don't say just because some guy on a podcast said it. But from what I read and
interpret, won't hold up with your
and if someone's listening to this and they're like, that's not right, I live down there. Yeah. But the way I read it, it seems like just with your normal recreational saltwater fishing license, 1 5-gallon bucket of whole shrimp, not head off, but
dude,
whole
that's
shrimp
awesome.
A day is the limit.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I would get my hopes up, though, and I would probably go out there for like 2 hours and have nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I can do that just like one night, get 1 5-gallon bucket worth of shrimp, like that's all I'll need for a while.
Yeah. They freeze well, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Nice. I have no idea how to clean a shrimp.
I've been looking at that too. I actually bought this little shrimp tool on Amazon, and they say it's good to have just at home for in the kitchen because it's cheaper to buy the shrimp with the shell on or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, you just basically cut the head off. There's a way you can twist them off, kind of like a crawfish, where it pulls the vein with it.
Yeah, the veins is what I do.
So you devein it, and then you just have this like little plastic like tool. It's like a hook basically, and you just slide it up under the shell and just pull it up, and it just rips the whole shell off.
Interesting. So. All right, last thing. We got a meeting coming up, but you made your own roof rack, Dan?
Yeah, so I bought that Smart Cap, which is a very expensive truck topper, and to...
Dan's wife loves him more than most of our wives love us.
She does. And to get one of their branded roof racks, they're like $1,700, and I'm not going to pay that amount of money.
Roof rack.
So when I used to work at Amazon, and I used to work in the photo studio, and we would build all of our photo studio sets out of this extruded aluminum, and the most common brand is 8020. But it's pretty much like an Erector set for adults. It's all aluminum, and you can buy big spans of this extruded aluminum and then cut it with a chop saw, and then use connectors, bolted connectors, to attach everything together. So I just built my own roof rack, and I did an initial run of purchasing stuff, and I'm like, oh, it's only going to be about $200 worth of material. And then I cut everything to size. I measured the back of the roof rack span, and it was like, I don't know, 48 inches. I cut everything to size, and it didn't fit. And it turns out my rails on the topper splay out, so in the back of the truck it's 48 inches.
Did
the
you build it so you could slide it?
51 inches. I'll show it to you after the podcast. But no, so my spans were too short. Yeah. So then I had to buy more material and recut them. but now it fits perfectly. So that's why I took the kayak out this weekend, was I put it on my truck. So for the trip to North Carolina, I can put the kayak on top of the truck because I got a 12-foot kayak. So it sticks way out the bed of my truck. I didn't want to drive through the mountains of Virginia with that sticking out. So now I can put it on the top of my truck, and I kind of did a wind test, got it up on the highway, got it up to 80 miles an hour, and had my sunroof open on my truck. And I would put my head against the headrest and have like a mental, a visual note of like, oh, that nick, I need to see that. So if the kayak started scooching yeah. back, mm-hmm. so I was just driving, I'd be like, huh? And I kept on expecting to like to look up, and it's just gone. but no, it performed really well, and all in about $300, and it has some cool features. I put a pivot in the back that protects the – it kind of drops down, and it's got rubber pads that protect the back of my truck. So when I'm taking the kayak off, it kind of makes itself into a ramp. It looks real slick.
Yeah, from here, when I looked at it from 20 yards away, I would have thought you bought that.
It looks bought. Yeah. It looks very nice. Well, I was actually joking that with Jacob that I could probably do a side hustle of selling the kits, but the truck toppers are unique per brand, so like
custom made.
I'd have to know the dimensions of the Chevy and the Ford orders. And the whatever.
Charge about $1,700.
But no, it's cool. So that was a fun weekend project.
So what's next on the truck? You putting some lights on it? I feel like that's
I already
your next
got
move.
The lights on it.
You don't have forward lights, do you? You just got the back.
I just got the bumper lights, and the bumper lights is because of the topper. I can't really see out the back glass, so I'm really reliant on the backup camera. And those rear lights light up the backup camera. Because the thing with the backup camera at night, if your backup lights don't have anything to bounce off of, if you're in a field, it's just everything's black. So I put on some bumper lights for it. So I think the truck's pretty good. I'm not going to lift it. I have no reason to lift it. I might at some point get a front bumper, but I have no purpose for it at the moment. So I think the truck is good, and we'll see what's next. But
a raincoat.
Why do you say a raincoat?
Because of the day that you didn't hunt because it was raining.
I had a raincoat. I just didn't want to be soaking wet.
Well, that's what the raincoat's for, Dan.
Well, it would have been my saddle, and all the ropes would have been soaking wet. And
I think you should invest in a raincoat.
All right. Thank you all for checking this out. Make sure you check out gunbroker.com for your turkey hunting needs. Get ready for the season. You can find that turkey hunting blog that we wrote about the top 6 turkey guns on timetogowild.com. Click the turkey pursuit. All right. Log this show. Go to Go Wild. Hit the plus sign. Log time. Outdoor podcast. You'll find us there with Uncensored. You can hit the episode you listen to. Thanks, guys.